Revelation chapter 20, I'm just going to read it. You just follow along there. Verse 11, and I'll read down to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their, for the second time that word, works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And let's pray. Father, please help me tonight. Let this be a help, please, to each one of us, Lord, as we seek to tell a dying world how much you love them. Thank you for all that you've done for us, and you give us so much to rejoice over. Please help it to be simple, help it to be understood, and drive it deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. What we just read about takes place all the way over on the right-hand side of your chart. We just read about the Great White Throne Judgment. And what you have to understand when you're looking at that time chart, all the way over to your left is a cross. That's Calvary. That's where Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago. All the way over on the right is the Great White Throne Judgment. We read in verse number 12, it says, the books were opened. And so, what is this Great White Throne Judgment? It's going to be a stack of books like this, okay? And they say if you recorded every word that you said in your lifetime, it would fill 15 500-page volumes, and that's the average. Of course, if you're a lady, there's no telling how many. Oh, my goodness, I can't. At any rate, it's going to be an average, okay? So, here's the stack of books, and the books were opened. And then it says, in verse number 12, it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And we're going to let this represent the book of life over here. One book. So you have books, and you have a book. This is the book of life. This is the Lamb's book of life. A lost man, as we read there, is going to have, it says, death and hell. Death is the body. Hell represents the soul. It says here in the Bible, in Matthew 28, a lost man only has a soul and a body. That is what's cast in hell. The spirit's already dead. A saved man, by 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is a whole man. He has a body, a soul, and a spirit that got saved. He has three parts to him. A lost man only has two parts to him. And that's why everyone needs to be saved, to rebirth their spirit. Salvation is simple. Many things happened. And Revelation chapter 20, when you look up there, go ahead and you're in Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And then watch this. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you have a 1,000-year millennial reign there. That's going to be number 10. Jesus reigns the universe out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years at the end, verses 11 to 15. Then the earth explodes. Hell is opened, and all those appear before the Great White Throne Judgment before they're cast into the lake of fire. And verse number 15 is going to tell us where everything balances. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Written in the book of life. Let me just give more of an introduction here. The rapture, when you read the book of Revelation, takes place in Revelation chapter 4. So the rapture's taken place 16 chapters ago. So chapter 4 is the rapture. Then, after the rapture, as you look at your map there, that of course is going to be number 3, we're in the air for 7 years for the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb, while 7 years of tribulation happens here on the earth. 7 years in the middle of the 7 years. Satan is thrown out of heaven right in the middle. He comes down, and then the great tribulation starts. And the first part isn't a cakewalk, but the great tribulation, the last three, and that's how come that 7 years is broken down on your chart there, 3.5, 3.5. The last 3.5 years is the great tribulation. Now, as you see it, the first resurrection, the first fruits resurrection was Jesus when He died for us on the cross and rose again. That would be back there at Calvary. The main harvest is the rapture. That's number 3 there on your chart. Then the gleanings are those who die during the tribulation, and at the end there appears to be a gleaning resurrection there as far as for those who are resurrected, who were killed during the tribulation and things like that. We're all precluding this with just a little bit of prophecy tonight. Watch this. There are going to be lost people who've died and they're still in the grave for 1,000 years. They're still in the grave for 1,000 years while Jesus reigns. All right? And Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6 says this. But the rest of the dead, this is after the 1,000 years, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, the first resurrection is the main harvest that he's talking about there. That's going to be number 3 when the trumpet sounds and the blood runs out of our body. Our clothes drop, are instantly changed in the twinkling of an eye, and our body and our robes, and poof, and we're out of here, okay? The dead in Christ rise, and then we follow all of it, obviously, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, there is no such thing. Listen closely now. I know you're looking at your chart. There is no such thing as a judgment in the Bible where you're determined whether you're saved or not. There's only two judgments in the Bible but there is no such thing as going to heaven to see if you're saved. You have until you die. You understand? After you're dead, it's over. You have until you die to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Amen. And then, but there's no such thing as an awaiting judgment. There's only two judgments in your Bible, and there's only two places where sin is judged. At the left side of your chart, at Calvary, that's where our sins. If you're saved, that's where our sins were judged. Jesus was judged in our place. At the right side of your chart over there, at the Great White Throne Judgment, that's where the sins of the lost are judged. There's only two places where sin's judged. We're not awaiting to when we get to... Look, if you're saved, you get to go to heaven, and it's because your sins have been taken away. You're not waiting to see if you made it. That's garbage. Okay? Our sins were judged at Calvary, and then if a lost person stays in the grave until they get all the way through the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then they're resurrected where their works are judged. Next, just a little bit more here. There are only two main judgments in the future. Two main judgments. Number 4 there is the judgment seat of Christ. That is for the saved. And I've already pointed out to you, the second judgment is the resurrection, the second resurrection at the Great White Throne Judgment. That's where the lost are judged. At the judgment seat of Christ, after the rapture, when we get to heaven, our works, our works are going to be judged. What did you do for the Lord after you got saved? All right. What did you? Now, there'll be some people, they got saved, they never got baptized. The thief on the cross, he never went to church. He'll be in heaven. There'll be other people that, praise the Lord, they got saved, they got baptized, they got in a local church, they served, and God is going to reward them for their works that they did after they got saved. That's what the judgment seat is for. It's for the saved. At the Great White Throne Judgment, the lost are judged, and their sins are judged, and their works of iniquity. That's what these books are for. If you're lost, your works or your sins are all recorded. That's why the books are opened at the Great White Throne Judgment. What determines whether you're saved or not is whether your name is in this book or not. Tonight we're going to look at imputation or impute. And before we go any further, if you're going to write anything down, this would probably be what you want to write down. If you write it down on your chart there, can you just do this? Impute dash, and I'm going to give you a neat definition. I'm going to give you like a little about a 10-word statement, and then I'm going to give you a 2-word statement for the word impute. What does word impute mean? Tonight we're looking at salvation and imputation. The word impute means reckon to one what does not belong to him. Reckon, R-E-C-K-O-N, reckon to one what does not belong to him. To give to one as if it's theirs with authority something that does not belong to them. Here's a simpler definition. Impute means to record, to write it down, to legally make it binding. That's what the word as far as reckon means. So if you get something imputed to you, you have something legally given to you and documented, recorded, that did not belong to you until it was given to you. That's what the word impute means. Now, you've got a simple definition there. Reckon to one what does not belong to him, and then to record. That's what the word imputation means. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 4. Okay? Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, this same passage is in Psalm 32, 1 through 6, but we're going to look at the New Testament as it quotes Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6. You're going to Romans 4, verse 5. Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, I love that verse, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David, now he's going to quote Psalm 32, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God, watch this, imputeth or records righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not, there's that word, impute or record sin. If you think about it this way, up in heaven, you have a list or books with, you had, if you're saved, you had, your name was there, and your righteousness, which is what Isaiah says, filthy rags. All of our righteousnesses are as, isn't that amazing? God doesn't say our sins are as filthy rags. He says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. When we were trying to do good, when we tried to help somebody, when we tried to feed the poor, and God says if you're counting that to get saved, or if you're counting it to merit salvation, it's filthy to me. Before you got saved, it was your name and your righteousnesses and your filthy rags under that list. And then the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness was on a different list. When you got saved, the Bible says, blessed is the man, unto him that worketh not, I love this part, your name was transferred, and I'm going to put the Lord Jesus Christ, and your name, that happened the moment you got saved. And all of your works that you did, all of your sins in the books that's recorded, that's what every lost person has to face. That's how come they'll be without excuse. They won't have anything to say. God's got it all on video. And it's all recorded in the books. When you trusted, do you remember where you were at when you said, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior? You remember where you were at when you prayed? You didn't understand this, but your name was put over with Jesus' name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was imputed. His righteousness was recorded. It wasn't yours when it started. It's now yours. It belongs to you. It's His righteousness that was imputed unto you. And your filthy rags were put under Jesus' name. That is the doctrine of imputation. It happened the moment you got saved. That's why when you look at Romans, that's why the Lamb's Book of Life, this is what determines if you're saved. You see, because you're a sinner, right? And there's a price on sin. We all know that. That price is death. For me to get to heaven, several things had to happen. Number one, my sins had to be taken off my record. That happened with imputation. When God, praise the Lord, swapped my name, put the Lord Jesus' righteousness under my name. Now, guess what God sees when He sees you as His child? Perfect. God sees you like Jesus. Do you understand? Watch this. When you do wrong, that's how come I'm so glad God says your sins had to be taken off your record, swapping. Then it was put in a place where your sins could never be recorded. Guess what happened? Here, read that verse again. Watch this. Romans chapter 4. This ought to be a beautiful passage to you. Watch this. Even as David also described it, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. All you did was trust Jesus. Now, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. But you're not saved until verse number 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, in this book is your name when you got saved. But your name being in here is not what saves you. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is what saves you. You understand? In the Lamb's Book of Life, your name is there. And then the righteousness of Christ is there. And then it says, God will not take your name out of it. But here's what's beautiful. If God, do you know how come God will not impute sin to you or record your sins? Any stunt you've pulled, and everybody's pulled a stunt. Every stunt you've pulled since you've been saved, it was not written under your name. It was written under the Lord Jesus' name. That's how I know I can't lose my salvation. What am I going to lose my salvation? Well, if you sin too much, God's going to throw you back to hell. That's a lie out of hell. There's no Bible behind that. What are you going to go to hell for if God takes your sins and that sins, watch this, sins in the future. Not just sin. Jesus died for you and all the sins of your past have been paid for. Well, guess what? It was 2,000 years ago when He died, so He died for everything I would ever do. All my sins next week that I will do. Next month that I'll do. He's already died for those. God will not, under your name, now that you've trusted Jesus, the Bible teaches this. That's how come I feel sorry for Pentecostal people. Saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. Probably in the Lamb's Book of Life, if that was true, you'd have a hole where my name is. You know what I mean? I'm so glad you can't lose it. Amen. Once it's put in there, then the righteousness of Jesus Christ is put there, and it can never be blotted out. It can never be taken out. Amen? Now, watch. Let me see here. No other sins. You are saved by works, but not yours. Hallelujah. Amen? I'm saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is in the Lamb's Book of Life next to my name. No other sin can be added after they're taken off. Now, there's nothing written in the Lamb's Book of Life about your sin after you got saved. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is written with my name because it is His righteousness that saved me. And let me see here. Let me just read to you. Are you in Revelation? No, you're in Romans, aren't you? You're in Romans. Look down at verse... While we're there, let's just stay there at Romans chapter 4. Look down at verse number 10. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision? He's talking about Abraham. When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. This is the argument. Paul's saying, Abraham, he said, circumcision did not save him. In other words, being a Jew. He said God called him and God saved him before he was circumcised. Circumcision is just a sign that he had trusted the Lord by faith. But they're saying, well, you got to be, you got to get circumcised and all this other stuff, or you can't. And Paul, and God's using Paul to say, no, circumcision or being a Jew has nothing to do with salvation. Just like God saved you, just like He saved Abraham, circumcision has nothing to do with it. That righteousness, okay, look at verse number 11. Watch this. And he received the sign of circumcision, the sign, a seal or a picture of the righteousness of the faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Do you see what he's talking about there? He said Abraham got saved before he was circumcised. Had nothing to do with it. Then, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. Here's the imputation, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. What's the word imputed mean? Reckon to one something that did not belong to you, but now it's legally yours. Written down. When you got saved, the righteousness of Jesus Christ was put under your account, and your sins were put under His account. In the Lamb's Book of Life, your name is written, and the righteousness of God, of Jesus Christ, is there also. That's imputation. All right? Now, I want to show you this because this is probably the more practical part. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 10. Go to Luke chapter 10, verse number 19. And I think verse 20 ought to be marked. But I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's talking about demons. I have nothing to fear spiritually. Do you understand? He says here, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but watch this, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's talking about imputation. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It cannot be blotted out. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is recorded there. And Jesus said, no matter what you go through in life, you can always get up every morning and say, glory to God, I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name's recorded in heaven. I've had righteousness of the Lord Jesus. It's perfect. Put on my account and nothing can take it away. Glory to God, I'm saved. I don't care how you celebrate your salvation. God says it is supposed to be the greatest point of your joy. And watch this. Do you know when you start to backslide in the Christian life? It's when you take it for granted. Yeah, I know Jesus died for me. And then there's ingratitude. And then they're, okay, all right, yeah, I'm going to heaven, but man, come on, don't take this Christianity stuff too serious. What would you do for somebody that died for you? If somebody took a bullet for you, what would you do for them? Would you take their picture? Would you frame it and put it over your mantle in your living room? Would you tell everybody that came into your house about him? That's my hero right there. That man took a bullet for me. I think if anything, it's the opposite. We don't take Christianity too serious. You understand? But as far as being too lackadaisical, God says here, the point of your rejoicing, it's supposed to be one of the greatest sources of joy in your life was the day you got saved. All right? Now watch this. The name cannot be removed out of that book. In Revelation 3:5, and I want you to turn to something here, but just listen to me just for a second. He that overcometh, Revelation 3:5, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Overcoming is not working. The Bible tells me, Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. 1 John chapter 5 says, who is he? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Has nothing to do with works. Overcoming, it has everything to do with understanding your position since you got saved. Now, whether you access it or not, whether you want to live in defeat, that's up to you. But God says, when I saved you, I made you an overcomer. I gave you that title. You've overcome the world and you've trusted me as your Savior. It's a wonderful thing. Now, here we go. The good works, I'd like you to go also now to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. So in the lamps, for a lost person, they have books. Everything's recorded in the books. And their filthy rags and their righteousness is recorded. But when you got saved, Jesus swapped His name with yours and you got His righteousness and He put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. His righteousness is recorded there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 also comes into play as far as works being good or bad. Okay, after we get saved, we don't have time to go there, but you're at Revelation chapter 22. Ready? Watch this. Revelation 22, verse number 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. It doesn't say he'll take his name out of the book of life. So there's three things in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. There's your name, but that doesn't get you saved just having your name in the Lamb's book of life. Having the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to you, that's recorded in the Lamb's book of life. And there's one more thing that's recorded in the Lamb's book of life for you as a child of God, and that is your works. This verse tells us here, your part in the Lamb's Book of Life is that what you've done since you've been saved. There's a couple of things you can do that'll cause you to lose rewards when you get to heaven, not your salvation. It'll cause you to lose your rewards. One is running with the wrong crowd and running with those Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and cuckoo birds like that that believe Jesus isn't God. That will cost you. That's 2 John. Okay? The other thing that will cost you your rewards, where God says, I won't take your name out, and I won't take the righteousness I've given you when you got saved out, but I will remove your part out, your inheritance, your works, if you play with my word. Sam Morris, the owner of Nelson Bible Publishers, has published more perversions of the Bible than any man alive. Sam Morris is saved. But he has lost his rewards because he tampered with the Word of God. It's God's book. Do not touch it. God says, you play with my Word, I will play with your mind. You ever notice those weirdos? Anybody who dinks with other Bible versions. We're not nut jobs because we hold to the King James Bible. We hold to the King James Bible because God said, don't add to it and do not take away from it. And if you tinker with it, God says, I'll take your part. Your name and your righteousness is still there. But your works and your rewards, God says, I'll take away. Do not play with the Bible. Amen. It's God's book. Don't touch it. So there's three things in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's your name. There's the righteousness that you got when you got saved that was imputed or recorded to you. And then your works are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can we close with this? Go to Revelation. Go back. Let's look at Revelation one more time. You're in 22. Go to chapter 20. I just want to show you this. So here we are. We've looked at the two judgments. There's only two places where sin is judged. Calvary for the saved. The great white throne. I'm sorry. You're looking at the map. Calvary for the saved. The great white throne judgment for the damned and the lost. Then there's only two places where our works are judged. And for the Christian, it's going to be the judgment seat of Christ right after we're raptured. And for the lost person, their levels of hell will be determined. Everybody doesn't go to the same hell. Hitler, with all of his occultic activity, Jesus spoke of depths of hell. No, there will be people that were moral and righteous and yet they still thought they could get to heaven, and their level of hell will probably not be the same as Osama bin Laden's. Okay? You got to know how much a Muslim hates Christ. You understand? I mean, they blaspheme him. That's why they cut Christians' heads off and all that other garbage. So there are levels of hell. The books for a lost person record it. But here's the part that every time I read this about the Great White Throne Judgment and what's going to happen, watch this. Look at verse number. You're at Revelation 20. We'll end here. And the sea and the dead, verse 13, gave up the dead which were in it, and death the body, and hell the soul, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The word I find the most heart-touching there is the word found in last verse 15. On that judgment day, the damned at the Great White Throne Judgment, they're there because their name is not written. God didn't have to go through this to set up the court this way. Their names are not in the book of life. But to prove to them that they rejected Him and His Son, God's going to set it up, and individually, we're going to be in the grandstands, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the saints will judge the world? We're going to judge the damned angels that are in chains, Jude. We're going to be sitting in the grandstands, and as they come individually before God, before the throne, and the books are opened of their works. I love verse 15. And whosoever was not found, God doesn't have to look. And I know God knows everything, but it's just the heart of God to say, look again. And as the angel says, they're not here. Whosoever was not found looking for in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's the heart of God. God says, I take no pleasure, Ezekiel 33:11, in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his wicked way. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? God doesn't get his jollies out of throwing people into hell, but there is a real hell. Amen? I have used this illustration, not this. I have used this illustration when I'm out soul winning probably more than any. I can take two cards, I write their name and Jesus' name, and then I'll say, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God trades places with you and writes His righteousness and holiness under your name. What a bit. That is salvation and imputation. The word impute means to record. That's one of the things that happened the moment you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, please help us tonight, and thank you again.